Romans 9, chapter 20. Romans 9 is one of my, of course, you know, Romans 8 is my favorite chapter. Romans 9 is, can't be far behind. And this pretty well explains election. It pretty well explains God. I mean, really, if you want one verse to explain God, he said, nay, Paul. He goes, no. But, oh man, now I don't like to do this, but I'm paraphrasing this morning. He said, no, listen, man, this is what I'm telling you. Who art thou? Who are you to reply against God, that repliest against God? See, when you read a Bible in context, I read a verse this morning, Isaiah, and he said, those that tremble at his word. And I asked Melissa, I said, who do you know that trembles when they hear his word? She said, no one. But when you read this in a context, no. Now listen. Who are you to reply against God? That's what he's saying. You see that? Shall the thing form say to him that formed it? You're going to talk to him that made you this way? He made you what you are and how you are? You ever notice how people try to change who they are? Today, more than ever. They try to change their stupid gender. And I say stupid because they're stupid if they don't know their gender. You see? Why hast thou made me thus? You ever watch the ads? Why hast thou made me thus? I want to look this way. I want to be this way. I want to do this. I want to do that. This is a sovereign God verse. And people don't like it, they can leave. You see? Now, this may sound very trite, may sound very simple, but it's of enormous value to me. And that is that this book is eternal. This book is eternal. It expands far beyond the mortal lifespan of a man, you see? God is eternal. And the Bible says that the Word was God. And it seems to me as though we try to cram eternity into our 70 or 80 years on this earth. We take this book and we try to cram it into our life, you might say. And worse yet, we make vain attempts at trying to be like the people in this book. Just like, you know, when I used to see I wanted to be like the Beatles, or some people wanted to be like Elvis. I know I wanted to play the guitar. You know, I wanted to have long hair and play the guitar. I wanted to run the football like John David Crow. I wanted to be able to pass the football like Roger Staubach. Isn't that the way that the human nature that people are? We do the same. Now think about it. You say, oh, aren't you supposed to do that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We make vain attempts at trying to be like the people in this book, yet I don't find two people in this book alike. Man will religiously expound. They remember they had little braces, WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would pray all night while man can't pray 1 hour. So why do you want to try to pray all night if you can't pray but 1 hour? That's when you become religious. You see? Now some people receive that and some people can't. The best of men can't pray 1 hour. I'm not going to preach this sermon, but my bride's a turtle. Tortuga. She's a turtle. I'm a rabbit. There's a sermon there, but I'll preach it. I'll tell you about it some other time. Okay? And for either of us, attempt to be the other would be a disaster. But I see that. I see that every day in people. Trying to be what they aren't. Elijah and Elisha were as different as David and Isaiah. You say, how can you say, well, I've read the book. And when I read this book, it's a supernatural living book. And those people come off the page at me, and you can see, I can see the personalities of the four Gospels. I can see these people. I take them to a man level of Paul sitting there and speaking to me. If you study the 12 patriarchs of Israel, you remember in the end of the book of Genesis, their father Jacob, he described him. He called them all in and told them what was going to happen to them. And he described him. He said, you're like this, and you're like this, and you're like this. And you could do that with someday with these two boys. Or any other boys, you see. And he also, Joseph had two grandsons from Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Joseph tried to make one this and one that. And Jacob, he took his hand and said, no, this boy's this, and this boy's this. Y'all remember all that, right? Mm-hmm. You ever read of the dissension between the apostles? The apostles! That walked with Christ said there was no small dissension among them. You see? Well, if they were all alike, if they were all just like Jesus, how could that be? I'm not making an excuse for us to sin here. I'm asking, aren't we to be honest? You see? Every mortal situation in this life, now listen, is temporary. Every mortal situation in this life is temporary. Every situation in this book is eternal. I'm going to repeat that. Every situation in this book is eternal. And thus, the what? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither indeed can he, because they're spiritually discerned. And spirit is eternal. You see? Mortal is not. But oh, how man attempts these things. He'll study Hebrew, Greek, he'll go to seminaries and Bible colleges. And we have Sunday schools, and we have this, and we have that. Now, I don't want you to think I'm against all those things, although it sounds like it sometimes. However, let's just look at those in this book that did those things. Well, surely somebody did. I'm going to give you a simple illustration. This morning, I'm getting ready for church, and I didn't want to wear socks. And I thought, man, somebody's going to see me with no socks, and you know, that's the way this deal's going to go. Well, he doesn't even wear socks at church. He's a preacher, he's not even wearing socks. What would Jesus do? Oh, yeah, he had a whole drawer full of socks. You see? Well, I compromised. I got these little golf. Yoo-hoo. Okay, I got a little sock on. All right. Oh, I wish there were some real religious people here this morning. You see what I'm saying? And then, of course, the most religious, the coup de grace. The coup de grace. Everybody know what the coup de grace is? I got this giant sword behind me. People hear this on the internet, if somebody ever listens. What? He's got a giant sword? But yeah, I've got a glass sword right there. Got a rope there too, so the boy can rope him while I cut him up. So the coup de grace, the death blow. French, okay. The coup de grace. The coup de grace. The coup de grace. The so-called, I told a fella called me this morning, I said, oh, you're going to like this. I'm preaching on the great commission. You know, everybody knows what. People don't even go to church know what the Great Commission is. We're to go in all the world. Everybody's to go in all the world. God forbid. Near as I can tell, he told 11 or 12 guys that. Okay? Or what I like him better to the, now I'm showing my age again, the Jerry Lewis telethon of religion. The Great Commission. Okay. If if we don't go into all the world, they won't get saved. It'll be our fault they go to hell. If you don't get money, we're not going to find a cure for muscular dystrophy. And they did that for years and years and years. But you know, Colossians 1:23 says, the gospel which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. You think that you bangy down there in the Amazon jungle doesn't know about the light? He knows. He knows. There's not a human born that doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, and that only comes from God. You hear? You say, that's the way it is. That's the same as me sending people to hell. Because I didn't go into all the world. I don't know anybody that's gone into all the world. And if we don't go into all the world, I've heard it for years. Oh, they'll go to hell if we don't go out and preach the gospel to them. And I'll just get this. People say, well, then why do you preach? Because God told me to. You see? Did he tell you to? I don't know. So we think, well, it'll be my fault. See? I've not carried out the Great Commission. No, sir. I've not. I'll tell you something else I haven't done. I've not walked on water. Well, wait a minute. Well, you told me I had to go into all the world. How come you're separating those two things? If I'm to go into all the world, aren't I to walk on water? I've not made the blind to see. I sure haven't raised the dead. I haven't parted any bodies of water I haven't called down fire from heaven. And I sure haven't destroyed the Amalekites. Truth is, I'm not sure who they are, if there's any of them left. Have you? But you must do the Great Commission. So strictly according to this eternal book, I guess I'm a mortal failure. Because I haven't carried out the Great Commission. Oh, except I have done what God called me to do. Reluctantly at first. Ran away from it. But here I am. 35 years. Hadn't missed many Sundays either. That was my Great Commission. What's yours? You see. But that was to me. That's what he told me to do. I'm a YouTuber. I like YouTube. I don't like their policies about some things. But man, YouTube, that's a library. It's my library. Don't have to go to the library anymore. I got YouTube, you see. And I can learn to play golf and guitar just like the greats. Except there's one little problem. My golf clubs and my guitars don't always cooperate. It just doesn't turn out like that. And I try this, and it doesn't work. And I try this, and it doesn't work. I heard there's a guy I listen to, and he's a really good guitarist. I think he's a session guitarist. He's an excellent guitarist. And he was quoting a guy, and he said, but one of the greatest guitar players on the planet is Jeff Beck. And he said, Jeff Beck is uncopyable. And I thought that was very interesting. Jeff Beck is uncopyable. And then, of course, they play some Jeff Beck. And, of course, then I said, Jeff Beck is uncopyable. I don't know how Jeff Beck plays the same thing twice, ever. He invents notes that aren't on the instrument. They're not on any scale. They're not on any instrument. And they all flow together just like they were made to be that way. You see? As are Peter, John, Jacob, Paul, David, or even our Lord. Now, in theory, yeah, I want to hit the ball like Ben Hogan. I want to play the guitar like Jeff Beck. But in reality, that's just not going to happen. You see, I hope you can understand the difference there. Because you better get that or you're going to spend a miserable religious life trying to be who you ain't. But we are able to be led of the Spirit, and we are given various and diverse gifts and talents. If you're Christ, if you belong to Him. He didn't tell everybody to go to Nineveh. He told my Uncle Jonah. You see? He never told David to go to Nineveh. I hope you can receive that. I've been associated with some religious sects that they practice what I call sameness, you see? They wore the same clothes. They all combed their hair the same way. Wore the same kind of shoes. They even ate the same kind of food. They had these dietary laws. You know? Except in Colossians it said, beware of taste not, touch not, and handle not, or eat whatever. Because those are doctrines of men. Look at the Amish. We got a taste of that deal, didn't we? Are such extremes like the Amish, everything to me is music, a stairway to heaven? Oh, here's the stairway to heaven. Get you a horse and a buggy and a little outfit, and you know. Or as the song goes, she's buying a stairway to heaven. A religion based on works. God forbid. And that's why over the years, I've always asked you guys of your gifts and your talents and your cross. Because it's not because I want to know, it's because that's what you're going to be accountable for. That's what you personally are going to be accountable for. Your Great Commission. The parable of the talents is spoken of. You know, to one of them they gave five. To another one he gave two, and another one he only gave one. He didn't give them all five. Why? Nay, but old man, how are you going to reply against God that made you this way? You see? What? They're not equal? No, sir. But each man according to what? His ability. Yet the evangelicals would have us all go into all the world. You know, there was one disciple that Jesus loved. They call him the disciple that Jesus loved. What about the other guys? Well, I'm sure he had liked them okay, you know. But there was one in particular that he loved. God forbid. I just read, I sent some of you the article. The grandmother this week that she had 10 grandkids and she rated them on her, she had magnets on her refrigerator. The comments were just hilarious. I've done that. I had five names on my, I had five grandkids and I had their names on the refrigerator with magnets and I had them rated 1 through 5. And they knew it. And their parents knew it and their parents were aghast. You know? Okay? You think God's not going to rate us? You think we're not going to have to stand before God individually and get rated and get rewarded? Rewards according to deeds? Read the book. The very personalities of the apostles jumped off the pages. As do the various women in the Bible. Abigail's my favorite woman in the Bible. Told you that many times. There's just some things she does that the others don't do that just suits me, you see. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So I'd ask this morning, when are you going to be as God made you? As what he made you for? It's easy to be honest. Not to me. I'm talking about to yourself. Right now at this moment. Has he made you to be thus? You see? I don't know the talents you're given. I mean, I say that. I know some of the, but you see the point. But if you're his, you surely do. Or you're not his. How is it in the natural we know our callings, but not in the spiritual? How does that happen? Romans 8:30 said, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified." Any wonder that we're to make our calling and election sure? But listen, your calling and election is different from mine. And mine differs from yours. Peter was not the disciple that Jesus loved. I kind of think he wanted to be. But he wasn't. You see? And the interesting thing is, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he knew it. And he kind of used that thing. He did. You say, what? Read the book. You know, there's many mansions in heaven. There's not one. My Father's house are many mansions. And he said, I'm going to prepare one for you. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I had a buddy, and his dad was a preacher. He said, oh, I just want a little cabin in the back of glory. I said, not me. Why would you want that when he says he has a mansion for you? What? You see? Excuse me? What? Somebody will get that. Girl. And we shall be each given a new name, which no man knows. The white stone, I wrote a song on it years ago. The robe of righteousness, they're all white, but boy, I can tell you they're going to come in different sizes. Did Jesus die for you? That's what I want to ask you this morning. Did he die for you? Will anyone be in hell who God intended to be in heaven, or anybody in heaven whom God to be in hell? Why hast thou made me thus? And I pray you know that. The confusion of the day, of this day that you and I live in, is exactly opposed to these tenets. Exactly opposed. You see? The gray world that we now see before us. But there's a difference, you see? God's children know darkness from light. They know black from white. And they know male from female. Oh yeah, and they know right from wrong. Why hast thou made me thus? You get that answered. You get that answered, and it will change your 70 or 80 years on this earth. Why hast thou made me thus? You get that thing settled. Because I've had it not settled before. And it was awful. It was worse than before I knew. You get that thing settled. Why he made you. And then you'll be a child of God, led of the Spirit of God. They that are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Why hast thou made me thus?